Dear Heavenly Father, you are a great and wonderful God and Father to us. You have granted us life, hope. You've revealed your love to us in ways that blow our mind. We thank you for the precious blood of your Son. We thank you that we stand before you cleansed, forgiven, and that we have life. And we thank you, Lord, that we can stand here and declare to you that you are our God and great you are. Father, you are always good. You are always great to us, no matter what the situation, no matter what hardship we go through. You are always altogether lovely, and we thank you. And Lord, we thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for blessing Charlotte with a successful surgery and blessing Alex. We thank you, Lord, for those of us who are hurting, the many here who have cancer. Lord, we thank you that we are in your hands, for you truly are good. Father, I pray your blessing upon our time this morning, that we would hear your voice and not just be hearers, but be doers. And be doers out of a heart of gratitude towards you for your goodness to us. So bless this time. Open our eyes. May we hear from you. And we ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to start with a question this morning. And I want you to think of couple answers. What comes to your mind when I ask this question? And the question is, why does God have you here? And I want you to think of a few answers that come to your mind. Now, and I'm not talking about you're here, it's Sunday morning, but why does God have you here as part of Reston Bible Church? Just think of a few answers that come to your mind. You've been attending this church maybe for weeks, months. You've been attending this church for years. This is your home church. This is your church. And by the way, if you're visiting and you have another church, this question applies to you and that church where you belong to. Why has God so orchestrated that he's brought you here and this, you are part of the Reston Bible Church body? Got a couple answers? Well, God's brought me here because of good biblical teaching, and he wants me to grow in the knowledge of his word. It's a good reason, and that's true. God's brought me here because he wants me to glorify him. Absolutely true. God's brought me here because he wants to change my life. Absolutely true. God's brought me here because I have children, and there's a dynamic children's and youth program, and I want my kids to be involved and grow in their relationship with God. God's brought me here because this is a missions-minded church, and God has a heart to reach the unreached. All good reasons. This morning, I want to give you another reason that maybe didn't come to some of your minds when I asked the question. And that is that God has brought you here to impact others who are here in a way that has eternal significance. Let me repeat that. God has brought, why has God brought you here? Here's one reason, and this applies to every one of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God has brought specifically you here to impact others who are here in a way that has eternal significance. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as I said last night, if you didn't bring your Bible or you don't have a Bible, next week, bring your Bible. Or get a Bible and bring it. We are a Bible church, and this is what we want to know, what God has to say. And if I'm speaking or whoever is speaking up here, don't take our word for it. Bring your Bible, examine the scriptures for yourself, and see if what is spoken is true. Why has God brought us here? We're going to take a look at the topic of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And for some of us, this is going to be a new topic. For others of us, this is going to be, hopefully, a profitable review. And in Scripture, there are, I'd say, four major text or passages that talk to the subject of spiritual gifts, or maybe you've heard it termed the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's four major passages that talk to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this is one of them in 1 Corinthians 12. And nowhere in these four parts of Scripture in the New Testament, nowhere do you find a clear one-sentence definition of what a spiritual gift is. You won't find it. You won't sit here and read, aha, there's a clear, simple, one-sentence definition of a spiritual gift. You don't find it. So what that means is if you pick up 10 books that 10 authors write about spiritual gifts, you'll get 10 slightly different definitions of what a spiritual gift is. I'm going to give you a definition of a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is an ability, or we could say a supernatural ability, that is given by the Holy Spirit to every believer for the purpose of impacting the church or the body of Christ. Let me say that again. A spiritual gift is an ability or supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer for the purpose of impacting the church or the body of Christ. Paul wrote this letter in Corinthians, and apparently the church at Corinth had some questions early on in the book, in the letter. Paul says, you have been given every spiritual gift. You lack none of all of the gifts you've given. You lack none of them. And apparently, the church at Corinth had some confusion. They didn't understand some aspects of spiritual gifts. And they wrote to Paul and they said, hey, Paul, we've got some questions. We're confused. And Paul then responds in this letter and he says, starting in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be confused. And then Paul then expounds on issues concerning spiritual gifts, and he actually uses three chapters here, 12, 13, and 14, to talk about this topic of spiritual gifts. And today we're just going to look at a few things that Paul says. First thing I want to look at is this. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. In verse 4, there are a variety of gifts. Or maybe your Bible says, there are different kinds of gifts. One of the things Paul wants us to know, hey, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. And depending on who you talk to, you'll come up with Somebody will come up with a list of maybe 15 spiritual gifts from the Bible. Some will come up with a list of 20. Some will come up with a list of 25. I personally think there's probably gifts that aren't even mentioned. I don't think it's exhaustive. Paul says, first thing he says, I want you to know that there are many different kinds of spiritual gifts. We have gifts, spiritual gifts. There's the gift of helps. There is the gift of compassion. There is the gift of teaching. There's the gift of tongues. There's the gift of giving. There's the gift of faith. There's the gift of prophecy. There's a gift of encouragement. There's a gift of administration. Many different kinds of spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be confused. There are many different kinds of spiritual gifts. And then Paul says in verse 5, and there are a variety of ministries. Or maybe your Bible says, and there are different kinds of services. There's a little debate about what that means, but I take it to mean this, that Paul is saying, hey, there are many different kinds of spiritual gifts, and there are different ways to use these spiritual gifts. There are many different kinds of spiritual gifts, and there are different ways in which to serve or minister in using these gifts. For example, let's say the gift of helps. Some would say the gift of helps and the gift of service are the same things. Let's take the gift of helps. The gift of helps, here's a definition. The gift of helps is the ability or supernatural ability that God gives someone to minister to in the area of practical needs. That someone, God has just given them a supernatural ability to see opportunities in the area of practical needs and to joyfully fulfill those needs. Some are gifted in that area. For example, my wife, Donna, has the gift of helps. She often cooks meals for people. She'll watch kids for people. She will give car rides to people. She has the gift of helps. Recently, there was someone in a mother in the church who had surgery. And I'm home with Donna, and Donna says, you know, so-and-so had surgery. I'm going to prepare a meal for them. See, Donna sees the surgery with the mother, and she thinks, meal. And I think the husband's ordering pizza that night. Most often, like Paul said last week, I may not even be thinking at all in those terms. But Donna is gifted. God has anointed her with this gift, and she just thinks in terms of practical needs. And not only thinking and seeing these opportunities, but there's a desire and a joy on her part when she meets those needs. We got other people that are gifted with the gift of helps in this church. Many are gifted with the gift of helps. Jeff Henshaw, I saw him earlier. Jeff Henshaw, you know, Jeff's a brother here. He has the gift of helps. He's got this ministry called Helping Hands. Jeff is into fixing houses and things in houses. He's been to my house. He's fixed some things in my house. I see Jeff. Jeff says, hey, Tony, how's the house? He doesn't say, how are you? He always, how's the house? No, I'm teasing Jeff. He says, how are you doing? Jeff, how's the house? He's got the gift of helps. And the gift of helps is him fixing houses. Bill Greffenstedt, another guy here in the church. Gift of helps. His area is helping with cars and car repairs. And I think what Paul is saying, hey, there are many different kinds of gifts, and there are many different kinds of ways to use those gifts and to serve the body. Even the same gift, there's many different ways to use even the same gift of helps in serving the body. And then Paul says in verse 6, he says, there are also a variety of, my Bible says, effects. And maybe your Bible in verse 6 says, there are a variety of results, or there are a variety of workings, or there are a variety of activities. This is a little trickier verse. So what does God mean by this? Well, there's a lot of different opinions of what God means by this. And actually, the word, the Greek word, is probably more accurately translated, we get our English word, energized or energizings. And some take this verse to mean this. There are different kinds of energizings or empowerments. For example, Mike has the gift of teaching. And Mike is used by God to affect large crowds of people in his teaching. And Mike is empowered to teach and be effective in large crowds, where somebody else who has the gift of teaching may be more effective in a small group environment or a one-on-one situation. So some people say that's what this verse means here, that there are different degrees or what of God's empowering or empowerment. I personally don't think that's what he's saying. I think the focus is not so much on the person, the gifted person here, but on the results. And what do I mean by that? I mean, our youth team, we had, I think, 20 or 30 of our senior hires went to Chicago with SEMP organization, and they evangelized. And they broke up, I think, in 2x2, and they went out for a number of days, and they evangelized, witnessed to people. And some of these people who this youth would go out and they'd share the gospel, some people just outright rejected them. Other people said, I got to think about that. Thank you. Other people came to know the Lord. And I think that's what Paul's saying. There are different results. You have the gift of encouragement. You encourage somebody today, and it really speaks to them and it impacts them. And tomorrow you turn around and you give a word of encouragement to somebody else, and it doesn't impact them in such a similar way. They're different results. I lived in Croatia for 10 years. 10 years, 3,650 nights. I lived in Croatia. Okay? I wasn't counting. I really wasn't. I was there for 3,650 nights in Croatia. Over that time, I don't know, maybe we saw 30 people come to know the Lord. That's a number. Over 10 years, we see 30 people. Over 3,650 nights, we see 30 people come to know the Lord. One night in particular, we have this evangelistic outreach, and 6 people accept the Lord. It was a great awakening in the land of Croatia. And it was so neat to see. But you know, one night there were 6 people come to know the Lord. What that meant, there were a number of outreaches where nobody came to know the Lord. Even months or a year where nobody come to know the Lord. And I think that's what Paul is saying. There are different results. But I think the more important part of this is the end of verse 6. It is the same God who works all things in all persons. It's the same God who works all things in all persons. Here's what Paul says. It is God who gives the gifts. It's God who's gifted you and me. It is God who gives the opportunities to use these gifts. It is actually God who brings the results when we exercise and use these gifts. It's all about God and his doing. And I think that's one of the things that Paul wants this church and us to know. Another thing I want to point out. Every believer is gifted by God. Every person here who is a believer is gifted by God. Verse 7 of chapter 12. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each one. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to some individual. No. Distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Verse 18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desires. No exceptions. If you're sitting here and you are a child of God, you've trusted in Christ, God has gifted you with a spiritual gift, at least one, and probably more than likely a number of spiritual gifts. No exceptions. And if you think you are the exception, I would really love to know why you think that. And after the service, I'll be out there. I'd love you to come talk to me. If you think you are the exception. But God says each and every believer has been gifted. Third thing I want to point out, that gifts are based on God's desires, on His will. We just read in verse 11. He distributes to each one individually just as He wills. Verse 18. Now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He desires. God desires our gifting. God decides our gifting. It is God who decides my gifting because it is God who gifts me the way He gifts me because He wants to gift me in that way. And that's it. Gifts are not earned, not something we deserve. We don't earn a gift. Gifts are not based on the level of spiritual maturity that somebody has. Gifts are not even an indication of somebody's spiritual maturity. You know, I think in the church, I think there's a tendency to think this, that the person standing up here and who has the gift of teaching is more spiritual than the one who has the gift of helps and prepares meals. I think there's a tendency. Or that the preacher, because he is gifted in the area of preaching, in some sense that means he's more spiritual than the person who stands back there and works the sound booth. And that is just not true. That's not true. You know what I used to think? I used to think this. I used to think that the person who could quote this the best, you know, if you talk to somebody and they can just quote scripture after scripture after scripture, or there's a verse that says, oh yeah, boom, right here, boom, boom, and they had this knowledge in their head of the scriptures. Or you know what a speed drill is? You race finding a verse. The person who win 9 out of 10 of those, you know, that they are the spiritual ones. That's the spiritual giants. You want to know who the spiritual giants are? This is who the spiritual giants are. The person that loves the Lord, that knows Him, that trusts Him, that follows Him, and the person that lives what this word says. Notice I said nothing about the type of spiritual gift. Because spiritual gifting is not based on maturity. God has gifted you the way He has gifted you because that's the way He wants to gift you. And He's gifted me the way He has gifted me because that's the way He wants to gift me. Nothing more and nothing less. And the last thing. Why has God gifted you the way He has gifted you? For what purpose? Chapter 12, verse 7 says this. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Okay, that gives us a little insight. Let's see if we can get a little more understanding. Flip over to the right to Ephesians. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, a few pages to the right. Ephesians chapter 4. Why has God gifted me the way he has gifted me? Why? Why, God? Why have you gifted me the way you've gifted me? Why? Why has he gifted you the way he's gifted you? Ephesians chapter 4. This is, I said there are a few passages that talk about spiritual gifts. This is one of those few passages. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 11, 12, 13. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There's a lot of big words in there for me. We're going to break it down just a little bit. God, why have you gifted me the way you've gifted me? What's this verse say? All right, verse 11. God has given us gifted individuals. He's not only gifted these individuals. We've got various individuals in verse 11. We've got pastors. We've got teachers here. God has gifted Mike Mentor with the gift of teaching. God has gifted Mike. He's gifted Ray Shope. He's gifted shepherd group leaders. God has gifted some of our ladies who lead Bible studies with the gift of teaching. And he's given these people to us. Why? Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints. And by the way, saints are you and I. Every believer, everyone who is trusted in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, is a saint. Some people think that the holiest of the Christians are the ones who are saints. God says otherwise. Nowhere does God say that in his word. He says, if you're a child of God, if you've trusted in me, you are a saint. He actually starts Ephesians, the letter in verse 1. He says, to the saints who are at Ephesus. And we read Corinthians in verse 2 of chapter 1 of Corinthians. He says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, you who are called saints. So if you're a child of God, if you've trusted in him, you're a saint. So getting back, God has given us the Mike Minners, the Ray Shelves, the shepherd group leaders, the elders. He's given us these gifted people in the area of teaching and what other gifts. And he's gifted us some gifted ladies who teach. For what purpose? For the equipping or the preparing of the saints. That's you and me. For what purpose? For the work of service. So that we are equipped to do the work of ministry or service. So here you got the gifted leaders that God has gifted. You got the Mike Minners who are doing the work of service and using their gifts and teaching and preparing and equipping us. And then in turn, God's using them to do what? To equip and to prepare us to do the work of service. So who's doing the work of service? All of us. Every believer is doing the work of service. In verse 12, and what's the result? The building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain the unity of faith, we grow in the knowledge of the Son of God, we become mature men and women. We become Christ-like. And that's what God's doing in the church. He's taking us and he's changing you and me into the image of Jesus Christ. He's taking us who were bitter and selfish and proud. And he's taken us and he's changing our hearts to make us forgiving and humble and caring. He takes me who could care less about him and he changes me to all of a sudden be in love with him, to love righteousness, to love walking with him, to love pleasing him. God takes us and he changes our hearts. And he says to every one of us here who are believers, he says, hey, I'm changing lives. I'm changing hearts. And you, regardless of your background, regardless of your physical condition, your IQ, regardless of how long you've been a believer, regardless of all this, you're a child of God. I want to use you in what I'm doing. And that's changing lives. I think maybe, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, you pick up the Washington Post. Or you watch headline news. I'd say maybe a week doesn't go by where you don't see in the front page of the Post something about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Maybe a week doesn't go by. What if, or I guess it was even 2 weeks ago, front page news was these two journalists in Korea. And Bill Clinton went there and got their release. What if you go home today? Think about this. You go home, there's a knock on your door. In come the Secret Service. Right behind them comes President Obama. He's at your home and he sits down and he says, "Hey, I want to use you. You have some unique abilities. And your abilities can be used to bring change to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I can use you to bring peace to that region." Now, I'm not talking full time. I'm just talking maybe take a trip or two over there. You've got some unique abilities, and I want to use you there. All right, hey, you've got some unique abilities, and I want you to go over to Korea, and I want you to be used to free these two journalists over there. What if that happened? What would, you know, how would we respond? I don't think there'd be one of us here that, I think every one of us would, we would feel honored, privileged, blessed, excited, and I think we would welcome the opportunity to be used in that way. And God says to us, "Hey, I want to use you. You have been uniquely gifted. And I'm the one that's gifted you. And I want to use you, not to bring peace over there. I want to use you to impact lives and change hearts in a way that counts for eternity. Will you serve?" You know, in truth, that's exactly what God does. And he sits here and he says to us, "Serve. Will you serve?" And you know what? There are many here who are serving and have faithfully served year after year after year. And I want you to know this. God is using you to change lives. And I want to encourage you to keep on. And I know this as well. There are times when we serve where we get discouraged, we get tired, we maybe don't see results, where we want to quit. We are in good company. You know who else had those periods in their life? Paul's good friend Timothy had those same types of periods in his life. And Paul says to Timothy, his very last letter, 2 Timothy, he writes, very last letter, he says this to Timothy, "Hey, Timothy, kindle afresh the gift which is in you." And what he's saying to Timothy, "Hey, Timothy," Ed said it earlier, "fan into flames. Get this gift burning brightly. This gift that has been given to you. Kindle it afresh, Timothy." Here Paul's about to die, and he says, "Timothy, get that gift burning brightly." And I think Timothy's gifting, one of them, was in the gift of evangelism. Paul says in chapter 4, same letter, "Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." There's his last words to Timothy. Fulfill your ministry. Maybe you're sitting here and the question is, all right, well, how do I know my gifting? How do I know what how God has gifted me. Well, one way you could take a gift quiz or gift assessment. You Google spiritual gift assessment, probably thousands will pop up. That's one way. Probably some of them are misleading. So I think there's a better way. I think there's a here's how you know you're gifting. You look around. If you have a passion, number one, I think there. Do you have a passion for something? Right there, I think there that might speak volumes to our gifting. But if not, you look around. You see where there's a need, where there's a need to serve, and you just get involved. And when you get involved, God shows you where your passion is. He shows you even the effectiveness or the results, and He actually starts confirming your gifting through others around you, through other believers. But here's the main thing. Get involved. Get involved and God will show you where your spiritual gifting is if you don't know where it is. So where, all right, where can I serve? Well, it just so happens that today, this ministry fair coincides with this message. So where can I serve? I'd say this. A great place to serve and use your gift is in a shepherd group, in our small group environment. And actually, we would encourage, we believe that God would have every one of us in a shepherd group. Not only is it there where we build these relationships, not only there is it where we get to know one another, we're cared for, we care for others, it's there that we impact lives for eternity. It's there that God shows us how to use our gifts in these relationships. So I strongly encourage you to get involved in a shepherd group. But some of us have the bandwidth, we have the gifting to be involved in other vital ministries, and that's our ministry fair here today. You go around, we've got umpteen ministries going on here, to children, to youth, to adults, to people needy, to immigrants. We need ushers. We have a welcoming team. We need people to welcome. We need prayer warriors serving. Walk around. Look at what's going on here. Look at where the needs are. And get involved. Start serving. And I close with these words. Get involved and fulfill your ministry. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have gifted us. You have invited us, enabled us to be involved in what you're doing. And it is a great and wonderful thing what you are doing, how you have taken us and created in us a new heart, a heart for you, a heart to walk with you. Lord, thank you for this blessing to be used in this way. Lord, I do pray that we would be found faithful stewards of that which you have entrusted to us. We love you. You are our God. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.